The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Yes, it is almost fall. Kind of fall. It is fall. Depends on where you are. It's a whole lot of weather up in the air. This is incredible. And I wanted to get into this, the perfect timing for this, because in the Midwest where we are right now, we've had these tremendous thunderstorms and rolling through. And it's perfect timing for the change of the season, for things that are happening. And I've got a special guest from the Association Transcommunication, who's a co-director. He's going to be with me in just a moment. But I did want to give you a little bit of a back sell, because I have been promising during the shows to, you know, put links on the blog, and I do. However, I've had a transition in my own family. Kat, I had 14 years. Fantastic. I loved her. The minute I saw her, I was working with a Humane Society, and she came just dashing in the door, all 6 weeks old, and I had two dogs in there with me, one a German Shepherd and one a Golden Retriever. You know, Goldens, they love everybody. Well, so did this German Shepherd. So she comes just like a little whirlwind and bounced over chairs, and I thought, my gosh, she's a ballerina, and she was a calico, and Chloe. So she came dashing into my life. I don't remember the weather that day. I wish I did. But I knew with this time, as we're getting closer and she's slowing down, and it's like watching a clock wind down. We have these rituals, and slowly, slowly she gets out of the ritual and starts a new routine, distancing herself and becoming ever so much closer to the back door where she's laying down, like she's making her exit. And the final weekend, I'm thinking, you know, this happened to be a Friday, I'm thinking, how's she going to make it through the weekend? She had rallied when my mom came to visit, because, you know, 14 years, you know all the peeps. And so I'm thinking, and I got the message, since, you know, this is something that I do pay attention to, Tuesday. I think, how is she going to make it to Tuesday? During the weekend, she was making her rounds. And so she sat, and my dog Gracie sat with her. And Gracie's 12, that Chloe's she's the sister. And so I'm watching this and thinking, oh my gosh, if this hadn't happened, I wouldn't have seen the dynamic. And I also know that when I am around and in thunderstorms and those kinds of events, other things happen. Phenomena happens. It elevates and intensifies the energy. So when you want to do something, remember, that's an interesting and engaging, activating energy to work with, thunderstorm. And so it's been really warm and mild and beautiful. And the very last day, she sat outside, and the sun comes out, and it's balmy. It's like the way Portland used to be. Portland, Oregon was such a beautiful lush before the drought. The rose gardens there, it's fantastic, and it's humid, and it's just like an incubator for, you know, you're in this wonderful oasis. Well, that's what it was this last day. And the sun comes out. I'm looking at her on the mat outside where she wants to be. And just everything around her is just glowing. And so the day that I was told, Tuesday, I tell you what, all of a sudden she has this issue with her hand. It's all curled up, her paw. And I can't figure out what the heck. And the storms are in the forecast. Not only that, the storms are supposed to be intense in the afternoon. Oh, great, we're going to be driving to get help. And it turned out it was a different kind of help. And at that point, there's a tornado sighted, as I find out later. And we're dodging these storms, seeing, oh, don't want to go that way, turn this way, turn that way. And the energy is amplified, and it's ramping up. And I thought, she needed a jump. She needed an assist. And she went out, just like that. And it was a thing of, there are so many things going on we can't plan, we don't know, we don't have all the answers. So with me in this next hour or so, suspend your disbelief. Give your chance to say, What if, and how might this work? We're going to get into association transcommunication details on EVPs, and that's how to connect and listen to things that may be subtle enough that you will not hear them, with my guest, who is the co-director of the Association Transcommunication Communication, Tom Butler. Tom, I had to get that story in there because it also deals with Sarah Estep and her stuff that she had happened during a thunderstorm. So is that, you know where I'm going with that?
Yes, I do. And that's a good story. We have cats, too.
Yes. And each of them have their own fantastic personality. And I was like, I was baffled thinking, I don't know how she's going to make it through the weekend. And at that time, no, she was showing me how to gracefully step into the next dimension. And then with that, I have the picture in the news story saying, video shows possible tornado in Johnson County. Looks like brief touchdown, Weather Service says. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's why we're dodging everything. And I also, the intensity of the thunderstorm. So what I wanted to get into, can you set us up with what your organization does? And then we'll get into why this made a connection in the next break.
Well, Sarah Estep started it back in 82. And her idea was to remember that EVP was basically discovered for the Western world in 59. And so she was still, it was very new. And I think that she was a very brave lady to begin trying to bring together other recorders and educate people about it. And she had quite a thriving organization where people were communicating by way of mail, sending cassette tapes back and forth. And mm-hmm. it was really fascinating. Well, we assumed leadership of the organization in 2000, and while we did try to modernize it, we added a website and incorporated it and stuff, we still were very interested in maintaining as much of what she started as we could. And we've tried, I think, but one of the things that's happened is that the world's kind of gone on. Now we've got Facebook and people communicating and social media in more of a real-time basis. And so we've pulled back a little bit. Back in 2014, we stopped publishing a news journal. And we're at the point now where we're mostly just trying to educate. We're maintaining the website. I'm writing a lot of so what kind of essays based on what we've learned.
Uh-huh.
And right now, it's if I wanted to characterize it, I'd say it's the time of trying to find meaning in the fact of the phenomena.
Well, that's the thing. When people first get into this, and I work with some of the people who do the ghost. This is where you're going to find a lot of activity with the EVPs, say electronic voice phenomena. When they're saying, "Okay, I heard that." There's a little girl in the room, and she's speaking up. Or there's a guy here who says, "Don't go there." Oh no,
yeah.
And you're thinking, "I didn't hear a thing." What are they talking about? And so that's the first step. You have to get beyond the stuff with Sarah. You can hear, and it's explicit enough that you're getting the details and you know what she's talking about. Okay, that's a tease for the next break. But we also do this with visuals, and on the website you show how to see the faces reflected in images.
Yeah, what's interesting is that we found, and we don't know how to explain it, we found that in certain kinds of optical noise, faces seem to just naturally form part of the background of, like for instance, in a photograph, especially one that's been digitized as a JPEG or something like that, so it has a lot of digital noise in it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the regions of the photograph between the very bright light and the very dark regions, those central gray, like the screen of a turned off television set, has almost a perfect canvas for that. And if you look closely, you're going to find faces in it.
And that,
we don't know why.
Now, there's also a science that says humans are hardwired to see faces, to connect dots and create faces. That's a science.
That's true. But what we're able to do is record those. First of all, what I've found is that we like a video loop to create the noise. Because mm-hmm. you can also do it by putting your finger in water and disturbing the water while you're taking pictures of the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be faces in there that when we're hardwired to see a face, we see our own version of faces.
Yes.
From our own memories.
Understood.
But
yeah.
When I've done surveys on the website where I've had like six examples of paranormal faces, and I'll get in some cases as high as 68% agreement on what it looks like in the survey.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a shared experience, and that takes it out of the realm of my own
projection.
The illusion, really. Yeah.
Okay.
And so you're right about the normal. It's normal for us to see faces, find faces.
Okay. Hold on a second here, because we're going to take a break. I want to get back again. My guest, co-director of the Association Transcommunication. We're talking about EVPs and ITCs, and we'll talk more about this, but I want to get into the demo here of Sarah Esta playing what she recorded. And it is phenomenal. It has both a voice, and then there is music in the background. And there's also a thunderstorm. So that's next. Wendy's Coffee House. We're going to bring it all together here in the next break. And if you have questions, you can talk to Tom, not during the show, but connect with him at the Association Transcommunication. Okay, so you'll find it fascinating. Coming up next, KCMO Talk Radio 710. KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House. Glad to have you along. This goes in. This is pretty incredible. I have found that whenever doing, you know, anything paranormal, that there is an amplification of the energy when the storms roll in. Now, my dog doesn't like it, so she wants to have the thunder shirt. That she's like, I think there's a reason. I do know my pets are clued in, tuned in, and these things amplify whatever else is in your environment. Then you start seeing the noise that's there and going, oh, and beyond the noise is what they're looking at. Okay, so there we go. But the thing with this is my guest, the co-director of the Association Transcommunication, Tom Butler, has some really fascinating history with this organization. And one of them is the founder, Sarah Estep, still has the audio links on the site. So I wanted to pull off the one that has to do with Beethoven. And I'll let her introduce it. And then, Tom, you can come back and explain a little bit of this, because this is what is
sure.
So, you know, this is an idea of how this stuff works with the audio portion.
One morning I made a regular recording, not calling, as I said, on anyone well-known, just a regular recording. And as I am finished, someone comes through and says, you have the famous Beethoven. I will conclude this tape by playing the entire minute of music that was received from him during a severe electrical storm. You will hear the thunder and the lightning in the background.
Tom, the cool thing about this intro and what she's playing, and I'm not playing the whole thing, but she talks over it because she can't hear it, which is, I've experienced this very same thing. I'm going to do a demo coming up of how it works from 1998 when I ran audio for this saying, oh, I can't hear it, and it was right behind me. So when she does that, and it's very tiny, it's so subtle when you hear that Beethoven voice that it's hard without the extra boost.
Yeah. That's typical. You have to crank it up so much, and a lot of people miss it. So
yeah,
it's sometimes not worth trying.
But if you're listening right now and you've got this recording or you're listening to the podcast, go back, crank that up, that little teeny tiny snippet, crank it up, and then if you can slow it down, you'll hear it. Make sense?
Yeah. One of the things... You say that she couldn't hear while she was recording. In those days, and still mostly today, it's possible, it's technically possible to be able to play these things real time, hear what we're recording. But usually, except for, you know, something obvious like the music, usually they come and go so darn fast, and it's so garbled, and sometimes need to be amplified, that most people, in order to be able to be sure that they don't, you know, just mess up the whole recording session, they don't even try to hear what's being recorded until after playback.
Well, and that I've discovered with my own experience, there was, you know, I'm going along, I'm being quiet, I'm letting it reveal itself, and I'll set that up in the next break. But with this, with Sarah, she gave you a really good basis for a lot of this because she established some basically protocols on how to work. And her stuff, it's not like this is in a lab, but some of the stuff she did was so simple. It was just like a cassette recorder.
Yeah, and the one that she recorded there, I'm pretty sure it was on a reel-to-reel, which is one of the reasons why I find it fascinating that I'm as an electronic engineer, you're basically plugged into the lightning grid when there's a lightning storm. So that was kind of a neat thing. And she had been recording messages that apparently came from Beethoven for some time before this. And I think this was kind of the end of her communication with him. So this isn't one of those deals where somebody is spoofing her with a Beethoven thing. Mm-hmm. She has every reason to know that that's him. And also, some people who know the music, is it Moonlight Sonata? I'm not sure which one it is, but they've kind of identified it. They say, well, it certainly is an eerie version of it, but it does have some of the string or some of the lines that are recognizable of his work.
It sounds like something from Dark Shadows. That old soap opera. I'm thinking, whoa, not Quentin's theme.
Yeah,
but it's,
yeah.
it's a long. It's that. It's kind of eerie.
Now, one thing I wanted to mention from the previous before the break is that Sarah, are you working off that five cassette
on the website?
Yeah. Okay. She published some EVP that were really the best of her work. She recorded hours and hours and hours, you can imagine, over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And we've used class A, B, C for the quality of these things. And she probably one out of, I don't know, 1,000 or so EVP or class B. And even very few of those are actually so good that you'd call them a Class A, but most of them are Class C. When people start recording, they're probably going to get what we call the Class C, which means basically it's garbled, it's really low in volume. You have to work to listen to it, and we recommend you don't share it with people because they won't hear like you do.
Not immediately.
Right, and so. We try to manage expectation. We want people to understand that this is an art as much as a science, and so they have to be patient with themselves. When they record, listen to the recording with a headphone and be prepared to play it back over and over again. So we recommend, you know, a wonderful thing for us. In her day, they didn't have computer programs that did this, but mm-hmm. now we have computer programs. You can do it and avoid over-enhancing it. You know, don't use too much noise reduction and everything.
Yeah.
And ask a friend, actually two or three friends, to listen to the recording without you telling them what's on it. And if they kind of agree, like say two out of three or three out of five people agree that this is kind of what it says, then you probably have a legitimate EVP there. But they say, well, I don't hear that. I recommend that you keep looking, you know, keep recording.
They do that with remote viewing, trying to keep it objective. Is what do you hear? And so you don't tell them, you don't give them any kind of a clue. What do you hear in this piece? If you heard language or a sentence, what would it be? And that keeps it a lot more in hopes, you know, hopefully, objective.
Well, it helps because what science is, part of the science of this phenomenon is that we fool ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are the channel. That's why one of the reasons I think that, you know, in a a magical moment like a thunderstorm and the rain and everything. We are better channels for phenomena, and we're really the ones that create that. Our communicators initiate the message, but we're the ones that have to put it on the telekinetic process of making it happen.
Bring it through.
And mm-hmm. So it goes through our worldview, and if we, for instance, with that, if you get a get-out EVP, I'll wager if somebody else that was comfortable, didn't believe in ghosts or something like that, they might get, I don't want to be bothered right now.
Hold on. We've got to take a break. We're going to come back. I'll give you my version, the demo that I picked up back in 1998, EVP.
All right.
Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO. KCMO Talk Radio. Getting ahead of myself. If you're listening on the podcast, it doesn't matter. Okay, yeah. It's here. Wendy's Coffee House. I need some more coffee. No, actually, when I do this kind of stuff, it doesn't matter. It's just whatever is going on at the time, you just kind of go with the flow. And I wanted to bring this up because in 1998, I was in Sedona, and I was working for a radio station down there and driving back and forth to work. And every morning in the back, in my car, it felt like I would hear something tapping and just tap, 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 tap. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to record this. To see if it's actual, something I can hear out loud or something else. Because to me, it was audible, and I thought for sure I could pick it up on my cassette tape in the car going back and forth. Okay, so Tom is here with me, Tom Butler, with the Association Transcommunication. And this includes both visual images and audio images. But for this one, I'm in the car driving along, and I'm trying to get something on tape that gives me an idea of what I'm actually getting. So here we are from the village of Oak Creek, which is, I think it was like 9 miles or so, over to the radio station.
Okay, no tapping. I listened. Wasn't there. At least not the way that it usually is.
I sound so depressed. Okay, so what happened is, and that's, obviously I blew it up a little bit just so you could hear it, but that's what happened when I'm listening back to that on the tape, mm-hmm. the cassette, and going, what the heck? It was like it was right beside me on the window, tapping. And that's how, that was, for me, that was mind-blowing that it was there. And I did not hear it at the time. I only heard it in playback. And as I'm saying that, here it is, it's already given me this demonstration of la-da-da-da-da-da, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. So that's what I wanted to get into, because I've had these things happen, and I can't always, reproduce them on command or convince anybody else. So I just go with what I get myself, and that was proof for me that, yes, there was a phenomenon happening here. I couldn't explain it, and I couldn't replicate it. It was on its own terms. Does that make sense?
So you were able to tell it to stop, and it stopped, and then... So you had a little bit of interaction with it?
What happened, I didn't tell it to stop. I just, it stopped when it wanted to. I was rolling tape for the entire ride to see if I could capture, because I would hear that, what you heard, that tapping, and it would sound like it was coming from the back window, like I'd had something, rubbing up against the back window. There's nothing there. And so but I also knew, at one point I was told on the way to work that not to drive in the puddle. And there had been rain overnight. And so I saw this puddle on the highway. At that point, it was a 2-lane. Right? They've expanded it to 4 now. So I was told, telepathically, psychically told, do not drive through the puddle on the way to work. So I get to work and see, there's in my whole lane has water on the road. I go through that. Well, doing the news in the next, half hour, 45 minutes, I'm announcing the traffic that's now jammed because somebody drove into that puddle. The road had been cleared out because of the water. But you couldn't see it because it just looked like a puddle. And I thought, okay, so this is the kind of contact I had. And I had this tap, 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 tap. And I thought, well, that might be related. Whether it was or not, don't know. Just know that I could hear the tapping, too, and thought, I need to see if I can get anything on tape. Just trying to connect. And at the time, I didn't tell it to start. I didn't tell it to stop. I just went back and replayed the tape and heard it. Does that make sense?
Lisa's written an article for the News Journal that about precursor sounds, and we've noticed that sometimes you will hear a popping or a clicking sound a little bit before the voice, almost as if telling us to either pay attention, here it comes, or it's a breakthrough.
It's an opening.
It's coming through a doorway or something. Mm-hmm. And you know how you press the on the CB, you press the squelch button, and
yes,
you get, well, it's kind of like that sometimes. But the tapping, you know, that's evidently pretty easy way for them to be able to cause effects here in the physical. Like your table tilting, the physical mediums, their seances tend to start out with tapping sounds, and then they progress and phenomena, and they'll tend to start out with tapping sounds.
Well, there's another. In the apartment I was in, I had a bit of paranormal activity. They turned the TV off and on, that kind of thing. It was also in the room as I'm going to sleep at night. I hear a tap, and it's here's one tap, and I'm just trying to go to sleep, and I hear, and then it's two taps, and I'm thinking, okay, yeah, tap, and then three taps, and I realize it's a sequential tapping, one tap, two tap, three tap. It went to five taps. I'm like, whoa. So stuff like that I'm familiar with. It was just, you know, getting something on the cassette to say, yes, I can play it back. It was there. I didn't hear it while it was recording, but I know that this stuff is happening, and it's happening around us on some kind of a wavelength that we aren't necessarily cued or clued into until we do the work and get rid of the noise. I wanted to get into that when you talk about developing lucidity. For anybody who's interested in this, it's around you all the time. You don't have to go anywhere special. But it helps to develop your own telepathic skill and your ability to withhold, suspend judgment, as you say. And so that, I address that because I think that's really important.
Okay, let me throw one thing in here about lucidity. Lucidity is really, I feel like as we gain understanding, we increase in lucidity, basically because we begin to understand better the difference between our mental rambling, and we'll color messages. Our mind is a beautiful storyteller, and so it'll take something perfectly random, the event, and try to weave it into some logical order for us to understand. And that's how you mentioned that we can see faces. We're hardwired to see faces. We're also hardwired to hear like music and random noise. But what happens is people. I refer to it as hyperlucidity, meaning basically that when you first start out with this stuff, everything is paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And learning to be able to distinguish between, that's the discernment that you talk about, learning to be able to distinguish between what our, let's say, our mind's stuff, our storytelling,
right,
and actual communication. That's where the spiritual maturity comes in, or the you take people that have been around these phenomena for a long time, they're just not as easily fooled as somebody that just got into it.
Well, part of it is you don't jump to conclusions. You say, okay, let's see if that happens again, and did I was something else going on? You're constantly on the lookout for things that might give this illusion of something happening, and not trying to project or fill in the blanks, because the minute you jump to, oh, that's what it is, like, no, you ruined it. Quit skipping ahead. Don't skip ahead.
Yeah. And like my stack of, I have, let's say, three stacks. One stack is say I don't, it's just normal. One stack says, yeah, I think it's actually phenomena. And the middle stack is the wait and see stack, and it's pretty big.
It's the still cooking.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. We're going to come back. I want to get back into more of the stuff that you guys have experienced with the visuals and that kind of stuff. So stick around. Again, my guest is the co-director of the Association Transcommunication, with all this really cool stuff that's happening all around us. It doesn't stop. It just gets better, and you get more fluent at dealing in this language. All right? Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. The air raced by, there was no sound. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. You know, if you are interested, we might want to go ahead and get this information out, the contact information to go do your own research and maybe ask questions of Tom. Because as I have done this over the past 30, 40 years, 20 for sure with the Nightlight, that it just gets more broad and more incredible, and doors open and windows open and insight comes, and it gets repeated, and you get to see, oh, wow, there's a theme, there's a pattern, there's a reason. And you don't always know it when you first start out. You have to just kind of let things happen. There's no forcing. There's no on demand or command. There's a co-relationship. And that's part of what I wanted Tom to address when we talk about this lucidity and some of the other stuff. But when they connect with you, you've got a couple of websites to refer for people to, you know, find out more. What are they?
The main site for the association is the ATRANSC.org. It's ATRANSC.org. And it's got a lot of resources, and I would direct people to there's a white paper on transcommunication that has how to, some of the theory, a lot of references, and it's either read the page or download it and take it home with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then every page has a contact button at the bottom. I'm perfectly happy to answer questions. Plus, now using the setup I have, you can also comment on articles. The other website is etheric studies.org. That's one word, etheric studies. And it's my own personal website, and I've basically tried to I've tried to make sense out of the phenomena, what it's telling us, and how it can be applied into our daily living. And so that's my musing on that page. Again, there's a contact button on every page, and our role now is to serve the community, and so we're happy to help where we can.
Well, and on this, there are some other things you get into on your site about morphic fields and, you know, energy spheres, things like that that you talk more about. I have pictures where I have these little energy spheres or energy, it depends, they're like a globule that all looks like it's cohesive, but it's completely undefinable. You don't know what it is. And with your stuff, when you see the visuals of this, it's like, oh my gosh, I am getting something. This is relevant.
What we found is that the light orbs have that middle of the road color light density that is a good canvas for the visual ITC or the faces. It doesn't mean that the face that you find in the orb is the local ghost. Remember that there's no distance on the other side of the veil.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that what might happen is that when you go into a house looking for a particular ghost, in effect, you're calling that ghost up.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't mean that you could convince yourself, and it's been done, you can convince yourself that this little red house down on the corner of your street has Einstein living in it, and the ghost of Einstein. And so you can go down there and record Einstein's voice. Well, you know, in effect, you've called him up, but it could very well be just a cooperating entity
Yeah, to me, it's like a trickster element. Where I'll be anything you want me to be. What do you want to talk about?
you're holding a glass up to the wall and listening to what's going on the other side, and it's really hard to know for sure who you're talking to.
Yeah, they don't always take it seriously. It's like, oh, yeah, here's another one, tire kicker.
yeah. So once again, discernment.
Yeah, okay. So that is huge. And part of it is that there's so much going on here. We're still baby steps with this stuff. And when I look at this, the ATC website, that is incredible. There's so much to jump from, to leap from on all of this information. When you're going with your articles, the techniques and the theories, and there's just a great starting point if you're not familiar with it, or if you need more background. If you are familiar with it, it's all right there with the light.
And I think you hit it right that say that it's a resource. Anybody listening to you now that wants to get involved in these, studying these phenomena, self-education is the first thing to happen.
I've got a picture at home that I take, or have taken, of the bathroom mirror. In the very corner, there's this little face. It's an E.T. I love it. I love it. He's showed it to me in a coffee cup, too. Now, whether it's an E.T., I don't know. I think it's a demonstration of a visual contact, and it's given me that image as a starting, a template, a bouncing off. But so that's where it goes into discernment. I'm not going to say it's an E.T. I'm going to say it looks like one, and it replicated
it. And it's valuable for that.
Yeah. So, but, you know, it's like, well, hey, you're into E.T., so I'm going to go ahead and give you a picture. La! Oh, thank you.
Well, you know, we've got visual ITC images of people that obviously come from a different line of evolution than we do.
Mm-hmm.
I've got that one I really like, the blue-faced warrior. Several people have gotten one that looks a little bit like a gremlin, or they titled it a goblin.
Uh-huh.
I have one that looks a lot like a grasshopper head.
Like a mantis or a grasshopper?
More a grasshopper than mantis.
Okay.
The eyes are closer to the head. And then just various ones that just don't look like they came from here.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you know, if on the other side, there's no such thing as distance as far as we can tell. And so the distance between here and some distant star is a thought away, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, especially when you go into memory of when things happened. There's no, you can say this happened in 1998, but for me, when I listen to that tape, it's here and now. It's like, oh, wow, I'm in that moment. I feel it. I know what was going on. Yeah, yeah. So that makes it difficult, in, you know, when you're dealing with this time thing of trying to give it some kind of a concrete template. All right, so we're winding down. And you had a couple of books, too, that you've also written. So for people who are interested in more of your ideas, hey.
I talk about them on the website, so you can find them.
Okay. I know. Okay, fine. Fine. I really, really, I'm so glad you guys have not stopped this completely, because this stuff, when you start exploring and having these kinds of experiences, it helps to have a resource, to have a template, some place to go where other people have already experienced it. And like you said, this stuff started in 1959, been around a while. I can vouch for that. And
but compared to something like physical mediumship, you know, it's just an infant in the fringe of society.
And you're an engineer, so I also like the background that you have to be able to see maybe a more definite part of this puzzle that others of us who don't have that background can't pick up on. So I
live in a very objective world. Yeah.
Well, see, that's what it takes. That's the grounding. And that's saying, okay, does this element factor in? And what did you think about the thunderstorm? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's because I have this visualization of a pulse of electricity running down a wire and blowing out her recorder, so, you know, because engineers are trained to look at something and understand how it works, and if they don't understand how it works, then to dig in and find out how it works.
Absolutely.
And that's the same thing goes for this, and that's one of the reasons why I get really perturbed when in parapsychology we'll have some retired professor of Germanic, well, let's say just a retired psychology professor making pronouncements about the validity of EVP. I said,
mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
You're not any more qualified than I am to talk about that.
We'll stop on that happy note, okay?
It's like, yeah, don't get me going on.
Yeah. All right. If you're listening, do your homework, do your research, keep an open mind. And I'm going to tell you, I have no doubt that my cat caught a really cool ride to the next dimension, a tornado in the middle of Kansas. And that's where we're going out. Hey, you're listening. Stay curious. See ya. Thanks.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer.
Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.